This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And now the 3-2 to Severino. Ground ball, weakly hit. Chavis has it. Flips to the pitcher. He gets there. And the Red Sox win the ball game. And they sweep the Baltimore Orioles. They win all three games here. This one in 10 innings. 8-6. And the Red Sox now five games over 500 heading to Minnesota.
So you hear Dave O'Brien there. From the Nesson broadcast yesterday, Red Sox end up with a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend. They've now won five in a row. Five games over 500 is where they are. Should I have known that this was a thing, Murray? Should I have known that getting to five games over 500 was some sort of big thing for the Red Sox?
No, because it shouldn't be.
Because people are apparently making this out to be some sort of milestone. It only took them 70-something games. I don't even know what the hell their record is at the moment. I just know that.
Yeah, nearly 2.5 months.
Okay, I just know that they're out of the playoffs. But overall, their record is 39-34. Took them 73 games, half the season, to get to five games over 500. And I'm supposed to celebrate this? Like, this is some sort of significant achievement on the part of the 2019 Red Sox. Anyway, that's where I want to start. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, normally is not here today. Billy Lanny's filling in. Jim Murray's alongside. So my question to you is, as a Red Sox follower, are you starting to buy in now? Like, what you've seen here over the last week and a half, the Red Sox have won five in a row. They just cleaned up on the Orioles, although the last couple took a little more work than they probably should have. But nonetheless, they swept the series. They've won five in a row. They're five games over for the first time all year. Do you feel like they are coming out of it? Do you feel like they are playing better baseball? And before we get to what I think, over the weekend there were a couple of comments that honestly I was a little surprised to read in the coverage today about the Red Sox. For example, Murray, what was it that Christian Vasquez said that caught your attention after the win? Again, they beat the Orioles yesterday 8-6, a game in which they blew another save, by the way, which we'll get to in a minute. But what was it that Vasquez said that caught your attention, Murray?
Yeah, so Christian Vasquez sauntered by some of the gathered media in the clubhouse and said, "Hey, guys, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
We're back. Five straight. Sweep of the Orioles in Baltimore. Ooh, we're back."
39-34 means they're back. Do you agree with that, Red Sox fans? Are they back? Here's what Alex Cora said after the game. Typically, we would play you the audio. Because the series was against the Orioles, who suck, there was not a radio reporter there. Because why would you cover that? Those are spring training games. So I'll read you the comment from Alex Cora. Because, again, that is the determining factor on whether or not we have audio, is whether or not the opponent is worthwhile. And sadly, in Major League Baseball this year, more than half the time, the opponent is not worthwhile. So Cora said about the win, and more importantly, about getting to five games over 500. It's very important. Now, I'm guessing that the question to him was, how important is it to get to that? Because earlier in the year, Cora said, well, the goal is to get to 500. Then the goal is to get to five over. Then the goal is to get to 10 over. So someone probably asked him yesterday, hey, how important was it really to get to five games over? Now that you're there, how important is it? It's very important, Cora said. I'm not going to lie. It seems like we're searching for a lot of stuff. It was one of those, meaning the game yesterday, and I'm sort of joining quotes together here. It was one of those where it was going to be an ugly loss or whatever. Now it's a great win. We go to Minnesota and we keep playing good baseball. Murray, would you call yesterday against the Orioles a great win?
No, I would not, no.
Would you call any win against the Orioles ever a great win?
No, I would not. In fact, I would be more inclined to refer to them as fake wins.
That's what I would call them. And so you know what? The Red Sox are 5-over. What if I told you that in the last six games against Baltimore and Kansas City, all of which have come in the last couple of weeks, the Red Sox are 6-0.
Yeah, no, I know that. And it's funny because some of the comments that I hear from some of these cocky players after yesterday's game remind me of what I heard after they swept the Kansas City Royals, rather, at the beginning of the month. Yeah, no, you heard all that. Hey, we're back. And what happened in the next series? They lost 3-4 to Tampa. And then they split with Texas. So against real competition, time and again this season, they've played terribly.
So maybe I'm the sucker here. Like, and when I say that I'm the sucker, like, I actually go into this series now against the Minnesota Twins tonight, and I say, well, let's see how it goes. When the reality is they've already set the pattern. We already know how this goes for the Red Sox in 2019. We already know how it goes. Every time they play a good team, they lose. Every single time they play a good team, they lose. Or at best, they split. But more often than not, against the good competition, they lose. And I told you way back when that this was an important month or so for the Red Sox coming up, that they were going to see Houston twice. They lost both series. That they were going to see Tampa in there. They lost the series. They were going to see the Yankees in there. They lost the series. They were going to see the Indians in there. They lost that series. And now they're going to see the Twins in Minnesota. And the Twins, for those of you who don't know, the Twins have the best record in baseball. The Twins have the best record in the game. So now what do you think is going to happen here the next few days in Minnesota? So again, this is why I say maybe I'm the sucker. Because I actually think there's a chance at some point the Red Sox are going to be good competition. But everything up until now suggests the opposite. Everything. So great. They beat the snot out of the Baltimore Orioles. And even then, they didn't really beat the snot out of them. Yesterday, the Red Sox blew a lead late. Another blown save. And then they won the game anyway because they scored 6 runs in the 10th inning. They then gave up 4 to turn an 8-2 game into an 8-6 game. But whatever, they won. So at the end of the day, all anyone cares about is the win. But they blew a lead in that one. And if you want to go over some of the other things in the game, which we'll do in the next segment, we can do that too. Because this whole idea that the Red Sox are now playing better, again, that comment from Alex Cora. We go to Minnesota and we keep playing good baseball. Keep? Like they're doing it now? Like, I wonder whether this is even true. I wonder whether they're playing good baseball at all or whether they're just playing teams that blow. Because I don't know any other way to look at it. Feels to me like anytime they go up against someone decent, they lose. And it feels like they've been making stupid mistakes all year, including one yesterday that frankly was embarrassing, which again, we'll get to in a moment. But you tell me, are you a sucker like I am? Because I don't want them to stink. I don't want them to be mediocre. I want the Red Sox to be in it, be good, and threaten for a championship. And not just because it's good for this show, because that's what I prefer. I want a baseball season. I also think that that's what their ceiling is. Their ceiling is a championship. But they should be able to contend for one with this roster pretty much every year. Pretty much every year, I would like to see them do that. Okay, because believe it or not, again, I grew up here. Teams in my DNA, I don't want to see them fail as much as you think I do. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Brian in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brian. Or Rhode Island. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, just came back from New Hampshire, though. But anyways, weighing in on the Sox. So my whole thoughts is, too, that, you know, they're just not there. You know, they're not there at all. Their head isn't where it needs to be. They won with Baltimore. I mean, big whoop. You know what I mean? Like what you guys said. And, you know, to have to blow a save and then the 10th inning whole thing, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like they are where they should be. 5 games, you know, the big whoop, like I said. And, you know, they need to just reconstruction and just get their heads out of it.
Okay, so, Brian, again, I don't know if they need a reconstruction. And honestly, I'm not sure that's even possible. So the Red Sox are where they are. The situation is what it is. The question is, do you believe in them anymore based on what happened over the weekend or where you've been all year long? That's really the question to you if you're a Red Sox fan. Do you look at those games any differently and you say, well, yeah, here we go? Because I told you this. I use my father as a barometer. I told you this, Murray. I use my father as a barometer for what's going on with the Red Sox. When they beat the Royals, you know what he said to me? Oh, they're starting to play better. I said, really? Or did they just play a team that sucks? That really, really sucks. So we've had this discussion on the afternoon show. Felger doesn't believe in strength of schedule in baseball. Says it's all about timing when you catch opponents at the right time or the wrong time. This year, more than ever, boy, did the Red Sox fly in the face of that. Anytime they play someone good, they lose. Now they're beating the bad teams like they should. But honestly, they're not even beating mediocre teams. The only teams that they've beaten convincingly in the last month are the Royals and Orioles, who are the two worst teams in the majors. Those teams really, really smell. Boy, do they blow. I can't say that enough. And then you look at the way the Red Sox are playing. I don't know. You tell me. You think they're really playing better? Dan in his car. Dan, do you really think the Red Sox are turning a corner?
Absolutely not, Maz. I mean, look at it this way. We don't celebrate when they're beating three in a row to the lowercase O Orioles. I mean, give me a break. You know, the trade that I was more concerned about this weekend, forget Anthony Davis, the Yankees trade that ended with Encarnacion, which, by the way, leads the AL in home runs. So I'm a little more concerned about that.
Okay, so Dan, I'll tell you what. We'll get to the Encarnacion deal, too. This is another one. So the Red Sox continue to really just sort of run in place. That's really what the whole season has been. They started out running backwards. Then they had to speed up to catch up. And then they've been running in place ever since. And that's really what it is. They're now 73 games into the season. They're running in place. The Yankees are running downhill. And now they have the wind at their back because they made a big trade. We'll get to Edwin Encarnacion a little bit later in the show. Murray, Billy Lania is filling in for Jimmy Stewart today. Billy, let me ask you a quick question. In all seriousness.
Sure.
Did you play Little League?
I did.
Murray, did you?
Yeah, I was the catcher. Of course. I probably bet Billy was the catcher, too.
No, I was in a corner. I was either first or third. Oh, minimal movement.
Good. Did you guys ever steal home when you were in Little League, like on third base, the catcher throw the ball back to the mound, take off and steal
just
home?
Just an obnoxious pass ball.
Oh. Nope. Okay, well, like one of the Little League plays always was when a kid would stand on third. Then the pitch would come, and the runner would get off third, and when the catcher threw the ball back to the mound, the guy would steal. Right? Like you were allowed to do that? What if I told you that that actually happened in a big league game this weekend? And what if I told you that the team that executed it was playing against the Red Sox? Would that really surprise you?
Probably not.
Nope.
It's been that kind of year, right? We'll go over that particular play, and we'll go over some of the mishaps for the Red Sox this year and continue with your calls when we come back.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right through there to strike him out. Here's the throw. No throw into the third base. The runner will dive in safely. VR taking advantage of the Red Sox there to go diving into third.
What a heads-up play by VR. Watch him at second base. They make the strike call. They throw the ball back to the pitcher, just lob it back, and he takes off. Boy, that's lesson learned there for Vasquez. Just waiting for him to release the ball. And when he saw it looping back to the pitcher, he just takes off.
Three men stacked on the right in the 0-2. That rolls away. Here comes VR. The shovel, and he's going to score as he dives in. Boy, speed kills, and it certainly did with VR there. He has tied the game 2-2.
So I don't know if that sounded like much to you or not. If you were watching the game yesterday, you know what happened there. I'm going to give you the blow-by-blow because it might have been hard to decipher there. But you heard Dave O'Brien say on the Nesson broadcast, speed kills. Speed kills. You know what that was about yesterday? That wasn't about speed. That was about laziness and stupidity. Laziness and stupidity are what kill you as a baseball team, not the speed of the opposition. Laziness and stupidity. So let me tell you what happened. The Red Sox are leading the Orioles 2-1 in the bottom of the eighth. If you saw this, you know what I'm talking about. 2-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Marcus Walden's pitching for the Red Sox. You know what he does? Walk the leadoff man. Six pitches. Walks the leadoff man. So VR, it was Jonathan VR. VR then steals second. Then with, I think it was Ruiz at the plate. Actually, no, it was Chris Davis who was up. Chris Davis is at the plate. He strikes out looking. VR waits for Christian Vasquez to throw the ball back to the mound. Because you know why? Because VR noticed that Vasquez has a tendency to be lazy with the throws back and just lobs him back to the pitcher. He doesn't even stand up, in fact, just from the crouch position. He gets up, flips it back to the mound. So you know what VR does? As soon as Vasquez lobs the ball back, he takes off and steals third. Boy, did the Red Sox look stupid on that play. So now, in and of itself, you would say no big deal. Alex Cora says after the game, no, there's no real tendency there. It was just a heads-up play by VR. It's not something Vasquez does all the time. What I would tell you is VR was clearly waiting for it, so he knew something. He saw it on a prior pitch, and he said, if this guy lobs the ball in the air again, I'm going to take off and steal third. And he does. Then what happens is that there's a strikeout but a wild pitch. The run scores. Now it's 2-2. This was a 2-1 game in the eighth inning against the Orioles. The Red Sox walked the leadoff man and then allowed him to steal second and then allowed him to go to third when the catcher lazily threw the ball back to the pitcher. He then scored on a wild pitch. So without the benefit of a hit against the worst team in baseball, the Red Sox allowed them to tie the game 2-2. So they end up winning the game, and you can shrug it off if you want. But remember that this is the team that earlier in the year allowed a fly ball to fall between two Gold Glove caliber outfielders in Oakland. They allowed a steal of home against the Toronto Blue Jays. In the last week, they walked the bases basically loaded against Tampa Bay, then botched a double play ball. They put two men on in the Sunday finale against Tampa Bay, second and third, with nobody out in the bottom of the first, struck out three times in a row and never put the ball in play. And now the catcher allows a guy to advance from second to third, which is essentially a stolen base because he lobs the ball back to the pitcher. And you want to tell me that the Red Sox are out of it? Christian Vasquez is going to say, we're back. Alex Cora is going to say, we go to Minnesota and we keep playing good baseball, and he calls yesterday a quote-unquote great win? I'm supposed to believe any of that when they're allowing Little League plays out there in Baltimore? So, look, I don't expect that you watch the games over the weekend. It was the Orioles. If I were you, I wouldn't watch them either. I had a hard time with it. But, man, if all of a sudden you think that because the Red Sox have won five in a row and because they're five games over after taking three from the absolutely wretched Baltimore Orioles? Oh, then, man, you're easy. You are easy. You are easy to fool, and you're a sucker. And I admit, I might be one, too. So we'll take your calls on anything and everything. 617-779-0985. Jim is in Salem. Jim, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on? I heard a good piece this morning on WEEI about Manfred and Bud Selig there, and how to get the new generation to start watching baseball games. Well, my idea would be, instead of having 162 games, why don't you cut it down to 130 games and expand the playoffs into an 8-team playoff race?
So, Jim, look, people have offered up all kinds of stuff like this on the ways to improve baseball. Murray, let me ask you a quick question, because I know that baseball drives you bananas and the regular season is endless, and you find the games as meaningless as anyone else does.
Yeah.
Okay? Would a 130-game schedule change your perception of baseball?
Sure wouldn't.
No. Not at all. Not the least bit. Billy, you love baseball, right? Billy Lanny? Billy, you've been a huge baseball fan all your life.
Yes, sir.
Would a 130-game schedule make the difference?
Still too much.
Too much. No question about it. Mason, you played growing up. Mason Souza's filling in today, right? He's helping out Billy Lanny back there. Mason, nobody knows who you are. That's why I have to introduce you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay? Mason, would 130 games change your interest in Major League Baseball?
Not at all. Bring it down to 82.
Okay.
I'm with him. If I had it my way, the playoffs would start in like mid-August.
Okay. So look, 130 is still too many. You know what the issue is with the game? It's not the number of them. It's how long it takes to watch any individual one. What was the time of game yesterday in Baltimore?
4 and change.
4:45 or something? Can someone check that? Can one of you guys just check that? 5 hours to watch an effing baseball game between the Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles, who, frankly, I would rather watch a couple of high school teams play than watch the Orioles.
It was over four for that game that they wrapped up against the Rangers, which many people said was the best win of the year. I'll take your word for it. Over my dead body, am I going to sit and watch something for 4.5 hours?
So seriously, in all honesty,
in a 162-game season, F off.
I mean, it's preposterous. Now, if the game moves a little more crisply, a little more swiftly.
Sure, fine.
Then you can talk to me about reducing numbers of games and making it better. Until that happens, everything else is moot. What do you got, Billy?
4 hours, 44 minutes.
444.
Get out of here.
444. Would you spend 4 hours and 44 minutes of your life on the Baltimore Orioles? Would you do that?
Never. Never,
on the Baltimore?
Ever.
I have a hard enough time doing it for anything. Like, I like golf. I don't want to play golf in 4 hours and 44 minutes. I got to spend 444 watching the Baltimore Orioles blow. Seriously, I got to spend 4 hours and 44 minutes of my life watching the Baltimore Orioles suck lemons. That's what I got to spend my time doing? Please. I know all you people have these great solutions for baseball. How about this? Let's shorten the game and make it move more swiftly. Can we do that? That's a start. Joey's in Quincy. Joey, what do you got?
I just had a question about that stolen base. Do you think that's more on Vasquez, or do you think that's more on Walden for not, like, you know, speeding it up a little bit?
So,
I'll hang up a little.
No, don't hang up, Joey. Did you actually see the play? Okay, he's got the radio on in the car. Anyone who saw the play would not blame Walden. Walden did nothing wrong. The runner ran when Vasquez lobbed it back to the plate. That's what he did. He just lobbed it back to the plate. He threw it straight up in the air, pretty much, and just lobbed it out to Walden. VR was waiting for it and took off. Once Walden caught the ball, people yelled, hey, the runner's going. He looked, the play was over. The guy was in the bag. It wasn't on Walden. 100% on Vasquez. And this is another thing that I sort of wonder about with the Red Sox now. Boy, they really do some stupid-ass things sometimes. And I hope that they're out of it, and I hope they start playing well. They really do some stupid things. Because the competition that they beat yesterday was wretched. And when the competition is good, boy, they've had a lot of problems this year so far, and that's been consistent. That hasn't been about strength of schedule or catching opponents at the right time, or, you know, timing is what I should say, not strength of schedule. That hasn't been about timing. Consistently, they have lost to the good teams. Consistently. And guess what? In the division, the competition is getting better. Because you know who made a big trade over the weekend. We'll tell you about that, what the Yankees did and what it means when we come back. Murray's got your headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
After sweeping the lowly Orioles to get to five games over 500, Red Sox get to see if they're for real with a three-game set in Minnesota against the Twins. It starts tonight with Rick Porcello on the mound. Minnesota counters with Jose Berrios' first pitch, 8-10. Hector Velasquez also reinstated from the 10-day injured list with a rehab assignment, while Ryan Brazier reinstated from the bereavement list. Velasquez and Brazier replacing righties Travis Lakins and Josh Smith sent down to AAA Pawtucket in a corresponding roster move. According to a report from The Athletic, guard Kyrie Irving and top Celtics officials are going to meet soon to discuss his future. A potential meeting could occur before Thursday night's NBA draft. Nearly 1.5 million Raptors fans packed downtown Toronto for a championship parade that included a shooting and problems with overcrowding today. Two people have serious but not life-threatening injuries in connection with that shooting. Two people placed in custody, according to the police in Toronto. San Jose Sharks have kept one of their premier free agents off the market, signing defenseman Erik Karlsson today to an 8-year deal. Update to the Nick Caserio story. Patriots enforced a clause in his contract to keep him from interviewing with the Texans for their GM job. Now, according to a new story from Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, Caserio wants out of New England. Headlines are brought to you by Bertucci's. Bertucci's now delivers right to your home or office. Get started at Bertucci's.com. Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizza and Pasta, the official pizza of baseball fans. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Up. Next update at 7.
We have the Sox cover. The Sox cover. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fits in well. I mean, he's obviously a great hitter, has been for a long time and continues to be. You know, obviously he'll probably become the primary DH, but has played a lot of first base and feel like he's very capable over there as well. And just looking forward to adding him and you know, just adding some more length to our lineup with not just a feared hitter, but a really, really good hitter.
Yankees manager Aaron Boone on the acquisition over the weekend of Edwin Encarnacion. Like, this is one, if you're a Red Sox fan, I don't know how this one doesn't catch your attention. The Yankees, now, I have some extended family, Murray. You're going to find this funny.
Okay.
I have some cousins, uncles that are Yankees fans. I know, it's shocking. Like, everybody thinks that I'm a Yankees fan and I'm not. But they're legit Yankees fans. So they all said to me over the weekend, boy, what a dumb move by the Yankees to get Encarnacion. They need pitching. I said, why is it dumb? What's so dumb about the Yankees getting Encarnacion? Edwin Encarnacion leads the American League in home runs. Talk about the rich getting richer. The Yankees lineup right now is absolutely ridiculous. Okay? Ridiculous. When everybody is healthy, you know what the Yankees lineup's going to be? Listen up, Red Sox fans. Listen closely. LeMahieu at third base. Then Judge, Encarnacion, Stanton, Sanchez, Hicks, Voit, Gregorius batting eighth. Last year he hit cleanup at times, hitting eighth. Didi Gregorius and batting ninth. Gleyber Torres, the second baseman of the Yankees. You know how many home runs the number nine hitter of the Yankees, Gleyber Torres, has right now? 15. 15 home runs. More than anybody on the Red Sox, with the exception of J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is 16. No other Red Sox player is more than 14. So the Yankees' number nine hitter would have the second most home run on the second most home runs on the Red Sox. So that now look, the Yankees still need pitching, but to me, this is something that Red Sox fans should pay attention to, because when you look at the way the team has performed this year, they've played poorly against the Yankees. I think they've lost 4 out of 5 against New York, poorly against Cleveland, poorly against Houston. We'll find out now against Minnesota. They've played poorly against Tampa, consistently bad against all the good teams. And now the Yankees are getting better. Now, there's been speculation in New York. And again, remember, this is going to be your direct competition for both the division and for the American League Championship. But there has been speculation in New York that Brian Cashman, the general manager, made the deal in large part to free up the Yankees to trade Clint Frazier for pitching as they approach the deadline. Cashman today addressed the media for the first time. And as a total aside, I find it stunning now that a team like the Yankees could make a deal as big as the one they made over the weekend for the home run leader in the league, and the GM doesn't talk about it until 2 days later, which I find ridiculous. But maybe that's just a sign of the times. So Cashman today addressed the media because the Yankees are back home from a road trip, according to Joel Sherman of the New York Post. Cashman said, there are a lot of inquiries. I'm sorry. There were a lot of inquiries. Inquiries. There are a lot of inquiries if this was a chess move to set up an easier lane to trade Frazier. It was a simple roster improvement. Frazier was going to AAA when our guys got healthy and there was no spot for him. He has impacted us in a positive way. We're happy with his progression. Okay, and then he goes on to say that Encarnacion helps the lineup, blah, blah, blah. You can believe that if you want. I think that ultimately the Yankees are going to trade Clint Frazier because he's a butcher in the outfield. And just by playing Giancarlo Stanton out there more regularly, the Yankees will be better defensively because Clint Frazier really sucks defensively. But the bottom line is that the division just got tougher. The Red Sox are already losing ground to teams anyway. Now it's going to get even harder for them. And the Yankees need pitching. There's no two ways about that. But the Yankees did improve over the weekend. No two ways about it. So the Red Sox need to start showing you at some point here that they can beat good competition. At some point that has to happen. In order for you to start believing that the Red Sox are turning some sort of corner, it would be nice if they could beat a good team in a series. And there has been no better team this year than the Minnesota Twins in all of baseball. Incredible. And the Twins lead the majors in home runs. So that typically goes flies in the face of what the Twins have been over really the course of their existence. More often than not, they're a team that has played good defense, run the bases well, and played a fundamental and good base running game. But now, even in that ballpark out there, is it still called Target Field? I think it's still called Target Field, right?
Yep.
In that ballpark, they built a team that absolutely mashes. Mashes. And Murray, what did you say earlier? Rick Porcello on the mound tonight against that lineup?
That is correct, yes. Averaging nearly two-plus home runs a game. He's going to get his face ripped off.
I mean, that feels like a nice night at the driving range, is what it feels like. Before we go to break, the Rodenheiser Heat Zone, Who's Hot, brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Xander Bogaerts in the month of June. Again, Bogaerts, to me, one of the guys on this team that really is immune from criticism or blame here this season. Bogaerts has been the Red Sox's best player from the beginning of the season till now. Offensively, defensively, all the way around. In the month of June, Bogaerts batting .321, 9 extra base hits, 10 RBI, 13 runs scored. He is your Red Sox hot performer in the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. 617-779-0985. We have a couple open lines. We'll continue with your phone calls. Give you a little update on the Twins. Give you the matchup of the game. Check in with Jones. All of that next.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Your pitching matchup tonight in Minnesota is Rick Porcello for the Red Sox against Jose Berríos of the Minnesota Twins. I like Berríos. I think Berríos is a good pitcher. And in fact, I think that I don't even know what kind of year he's having. I should probably have a better grasp of that. But boy, this guy's got a nasty breaking ball. One of the first games I saw him pitch, I thought this guy's the real deal.
Says he's 8-2 with the earned run average just a hair over 3.
So okay. Yeah. You know what, Murray? If you have it in front of you, too, and I know I'm throwing this at your last second, strikeouts, innings pitched, and walks, if you can get it, all this, his stats across the board. Because my recollection is he doesn't walk many guys. He strikes out a lot. I love this kid.
He's only got 17 walks on the year. 84 strikeouts. That's in 89 and two-thirds.
Okay, so he strikes out a batter an inning. You know, he walks basically, you know, two guys a game. I mean, Berríos is good. He's the real thing. And the pitching matchups in this series, you know, the Twins have had the best record in baseball. So I don't know that you're going to get any easy matchups or any easy games in this series. In the three games out there in Minnesota, you are going to see Berríos, Michael Pineda, and that's Kyle Gibson in the finale. So I know that Jake Odorizzi is also having a great year for them. You're going to miss him, and Odorizzi has given the Red Sox problems in the past. But as far as the matchups tonight go against Berríos, no shocker here. J.D. Martinez hits him. J.D. Martinez hits everybody. 4 for 11 with an OPS over 900. He's got a double, 3 RBIs, a couple of walks. Again, no shock. Jackie Bradley, just 1 for 8, 4 strikeouts. Can't touch this guy. Bradley's been a little bit better of late, so we'll see how that one goes. Meanwhile, on the other side, Rick Porcello collectively against these Twins, and again, I'm going by the current roster of the Twins, has done pretty well against them. 226 average, 639 OPS. And that's in a combined 168 plate appearances. So no small sample. Now, that said, Marwin Gonzalez, 4 for 10 against Porcello. He's got an OPS over 1,200. Nelson Cruz, the opposite, 6 for 36 with 10 strikeouts and an OPS just over 400. So Porcello owns Cruz. He struggles with Gonzalez. On the other side, Berríos struggles with Martinez, but does very well against Jackie Bradley Jr. Again, 617-779-0985. I'll just tell you quickly the Red Sox lineup tonight. No major surprises. Mookie Betts is in there as your leadoff hitter. Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, Rafael Devers, Bogaerts is batting fifth. Holt is batting sixth at second base. Chavis down to seventh. Bradley eighth. Leon ninth. And again, most people in the here wouldn't know many of the guys in the Twins lineup. Believe it or not, I tell you, they're the real deal. They have 7 guys with 10 homers, 2 more with 9. Just about every guy in the lineup can hit it out of the ballpark. Eddie Rosario's got 19 home runs. Max Kepler, its leadoff, has 17. Cruz, Jonathan Scope. It's a good deep lineup there for the Minnesota Twins, and they got a couple of good guys at the top end of that rotation. Rocco Baldelli's turned that team around. Twins had a good year a couple of years ago, if you remember. Made the playoffs and then I think blew a game to the Yankees in New York in that play-in game. And so, you know, there's been talent there in Minnesota here for a couple of years. They really underachieved last year, and maybe now they're putting it together.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.